Time to recap McCook School Board of Education meeting for the month of May in our studio, Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard. How the heck are you, man?
Doing very well. Thank you, Rich.
Coming off a great, fantastic ceremony of graduation at the Graff Event Center on Friday.
Yeah, it was a great evening to celebrate our students, our graduates, and send them off into the world so they can conquer it, right? So they can go out and do great things. And I know they will. It's a great class.
Choir did a great job singing. Had some great student speakers, as always. Yes. Had the Educator of the Year Award, and that was all those great honors.
Yeah, it was nice to start off. Actually, it was a little bit before graduation's commencement ceremony began, where Deb Donlin was recognized as Teacher of the Year. So that was a really special way to start off the night.
I'm sure, like always, those folks have no idea they're going to get that. You just needed a camera on her face going, is that me? Is that me? That's me.
As you slowly figure it out as they describe you. Yeah, it's definitely a surprise for those folks.
All right, let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first, reports, communications, public participation.
Well, actually, we started last night with a hearing for the Committee on American Civics. By state statute, McCook Public Schools will have two committee meetings a year. One of those has to be a hearing opportunity. So we started off at 5:30 yesterday with a hearing for anybody in the community that wanted to speak concerning the instruction of American civics. A few things, the purpose of this committee, I'll just share some of what was discussed last night. The integration and foundation of subjects, including civics, history, economics, financial literacy, and geography into our curriculum. The development of the assessments we use, whether they're formative, interim, or summative, a way for us to gauge the students' mastery of those social studies standards. Also, the inclusion of history of significant figures and groups, diverse cultures and racial backgrounds, and the administration of a naturalized Asian and civics assessment to students. So that's also in state statute, as all of our students take the naturalization assessment twice during their high school career. And so we talked a little bit about that last night, opened it up for public comments. We did have a member of the community in attendance, but did not comment last night, just there to observe what was taking place. And then we also talked about days this last calendar year that were celebrated. We recognized Constitution Day with our students, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, Native American Heritage Day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and President's Day. Those are all holidays we recognize during the year because our students are in session. There are a few that we don't recognize because we're outside of the school year, and that's Malcolm X Day, Memorial Day, and Independence Day. And so those are all dates that are days that are pointed out to us in state statute to observe. One of the items that we're going to be discussing at our next meeting with the committee is the addition of a celebration or recognition day of George Norris Day, January 5th. So we're going to be talking about that at the next meeting, which will take place in June. Now, that won't be a public hearing, but it will be an opportunity for folks to come and if they wish, to watch the committee discuss civics and then civics instruction in our classrooms. After that, then we went into the regular board meeting. We started off last night. All of our we did have someone visit with us during public participation. We had a patron named Kyle Kunke spoke about the bond issue. He really brought some great information to the board, some thoughts on what he thought the bond should look like, some concerns with the current plan that we have in place. He was able to share that with the Board of Education and give some things for them to discuss. I also invited Kyle and his friends to come to one of our, if the board calls for the bond in June, then we'll be going through that process of giving tours and such to the folks from the community. Invited him to come to one of those, or even set up a special meeting with myself, Mr. Gross, or any of the members of our facilities committee to come in and just talk about what the plan is for that bond. I'd love to visit with him. And I think just a little bit listening to Kyle last night and having some interaction with him, I think we're really close to being on the same page, to be quite honest with you. So just sometimes you just need to have that opportunity to visit one-to-one with sort of the building diagrams in front of you so you can really see how our plans kind of mesh or how our ideas came into fruition also. So he spoke, was excellent, really appreciate Kyle coming in and visiting. Then we also had a couple of presentations given to the board. The first one was from our eSports team. McCook High School has an eSports team, and they competed in the state tournament, and actually they won the state championship in eSports. sports. So last night we had Leighton Winters, Andrew Pokup, Warren Witt, Chevy Whitman, and our coaches, Nate Preby and Dylan Rouse, were there to show us the state trophy and kind of receive some recognition for their hard work and their efforts in that area. One of the things that I asked them was, what is the skill set? You know, what is your skill set that you need to be state to beat everybody else and to win that state title? And I found what they said very interesting. You need to have a very good strategy. So you need to be working cognitively to think about what your next move is going to be as a team. And then to execute it, you have to have really good communication. And I thought, well, those are two great things to pull out of that. And those are the two most important skill sets needed to compete at a high level. So strategy. So deep thinking and communication, which is obviously very important, Rich, mm-hmm. as you know.
Have you ever played video games before?
I believe I Pitfall was one of my favorites.
Oh, wow. We're going back a few years to this one. But I remember that, Atari.
Atari. Yeah. I never had a Nintendo 60. I had cousins that had that.
Right.
Would play a little bit of Mario Brothers at
sure.
their place. But, you know, Frogger, I had the sort of the basic unit.
The classics.
Yeah, the classics.
Pac-Man, Donkey Kong.
The games you got tired of after 45 minutes and went outside.
But I still like them today. To be
honest, sure.
When I can play them. I don't play them hardly ever at all, but I just kind of curious if you...
My son enjoys the games. He
sure.
actually built his own gaming computer.
Really?
Yeah, he designed it. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really fast, but... Yeah, so I need to have him build me something.
Yeah, sometime. That's pretty cool.
So
I
know
like that.
Yeah, you need a good machine, I think, to game at a high level.
Yeah.
And so I don't have anything like that. My laptops are really good at word processing.
Exactly.
Then our second group that presented last night was part of the Citizenship 2.0 program, locally known as Civic Bites. And Bites spelled B-Y-T-E-S, Civic Bites. And they competed in the Nebraska Digital Citizenship Symposium poster contest. The students that competed were from Central Elementary School, and it was our fifth grade class, and they swept all of the top spots. And so I just wanted so Mrs. Williams, who's the coach or organized this, wanted to give some recognition to these kids who participated. And so we had honorable mentions went out to Riker Mooney, J.C. Dixon, and Matthew Fulkerson. And third place went to Maya Webb. Second place went to Cannon Crawford, and first place went to Asaicia Frank. And then also we had Brecken Rupert was chosen as being an example of citizenship in action. So had some. It was really nice to have the kids come in, speak a little bit about the work that they had done and share their posters with the Board of Education. In our board packet, we had pictures of all the other posters that were made by our students. It was really impressive to see the work that our kids put into it. Some students did it all using technology, so they went on to a program we have at the schools called Canva and designed it all on using technology, fonts and images and icons and pictures. And other students chose to do it with their hands, just art and the mm-hmm. craft and craftsmanship and art, the more traditional method. And we had winners both. In fact, I think... our state champion was done by hand. So that was pretty impressive. So we really appreciated them and were able to recognize them last night as well. It was a great way to start off the board meeting.
Public comments after that?
Well, we just had Kyle Kunkey.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah.
Consent agenda, minutes, financials, approval of expenditures, payroll for April of 2025, then reports from staff members of committees.
Yeah, we have a couple of committee reports that we gave last night. The first committee report was from the Americanism Committee, and I spoke a little bit about that already. So right after that committee meeting took place, went into the board meeting and kind of shared what was discussed. Now, the main purpose of that is to share any public comments because the whole board is not there, just the committee members. But we just kind of talked about the purpose and role and function of the committee since we didn't have any comments last night. Then the next committee that spoke was our programs committee. And our programs committee met to talk about several very important topics. The first one being a grading policy for high school and junior high. We've had some parents contact us about our grading policy, which kind of stirred us into looking into researching how we do grades at McCook High School and McCook Junior High School. And I think I did this about a decade ago, and at that time we looked like our some a lot of our peers, not everybody. Everyone's got a little bit of different approach to grading. When I did a little bit of research this time, it looks like we're a little bit we're kind of unique now. There's not too many schools that have the same grading format that we have into place, So I think I prepared the board with some of the samples of what other people are doing. I showed them what we're doing, and basically we're prepared to kind of look at how grading how we want to do grading moving forward, and that's going to take some time. So as we move into next school year, we'll be doing a little bit more research. We'll be collecting information from our teaching staff, who will have a very prominent voice in our grading process. We'll be talking to some more patrons from our community about grading, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the 25-26 school year, for the 26-27 school year, we have maybe a little different grading system put in place. I can't speak for sure that that's going to be the case, but it looks like there's a potential there. At least there's definitely some strong interest in moving and coming more into alignment with what our schools are doing. One of the things that we talked about at that committee meeting was balance between between grading and the balance with kids and scholarships. So parents are concerned that our grading system's pretty, you know, has high expectations. And if you're applying for grants or scholarships, some students from McCook might be at a little bit of a disadvantage. But if you loosen the grading system too much and you look at the research, you end up with students who don't perform as well on assessments such as the ACT or the MAPS assessments or reading assessments. And we don't want to give up our rigor for a simpler grading system. So we need to, whatever we do, we need to find a balance between the two where we maintain rigor and also help our students be competitive in a scholarship market. And so that might be tricky. I think we're going to be able to come up with something. I think there's some schools that have gone down this path already and have some good balance, but it's going to be sort of a team effort here, and we're going to have to work together with all the different stakeholders to make sure we have a good grading system if we make a change at all. Another item that we spoke about was expanding our career and technical education department at the high school. One of the things that we were looking at doing is offering students an opportunity to go out and get hands-on working in housing, a house, let's say, or construction experience, you know, framing, drywalling, mudding, maybe getting electrical kids going out and doing a little bit of electrical work with wires and circuit breakers and boxes and those types of things. Not necessarily all next year, but over the course of a couple of year period. Doing some hands-on woodwork, trim work, those types of things. And so we're looking at starting that next year. In addition to that, we're looking at a small engines program and having kids get at least a very introductory course in small engines, maybe beyond changing oil and that type of business, but how the engine works, being able to pull out basic parts of it, understanding how to make minor repairs to small engines. And another course we're looking at adding is welding, sort of an introductory welding course back into our program. We had that a few years ago. The college program got too full, and so we had to kind of back off. Well, with the addition of a new teacher in career and technical education or industrial arts, we're able to use the college is allowing us to use their facilities with their welding units, which we really appreciate. But we just put our teacher in there with the students, and so this teacher will do the welding, the small engines, and give kids practical hands-on experience working on a house and construction and remodeling, those types of things. So really excited about next year, and later on in the agenda, we'll announce who that new career and technical education teacher is. Then we also talked about during that committee meeting a 0 hour for strength training. That really didn't move forward from the committee. And then we talked about graduation day remaining. We talked about Friday graduation, Saturday graduation, Sunday graduation, pros and cons. And we took a deep dive into that. It was a few years ago that we made the change. And after we looked at it, Friday remains the best day for McCook High School, McCook students, and actually the area. There's so many other graduations on Saturday. It lines up well with the college. And there's actually quite a list of reasons why we retain that Friday graduation. And it seems it was really packed the other night. We had standing folks around the edge, so folks are able to make it. So those were the items we talked about at Programs Committee.
So there are a lot of folks, are there some that say Friday doesn't work and they'd rather go back to Saturday, Sunday?
I've had more complaints I have once in a while someone says that, but not very often. When it was on Sunday, I got far more complaints on Sunday, and the board did as well. People did not like having graduation on Mother's Day. They just didn't. And so this was a way of allowing our parents to make it to their other kids' college graduations, which are generally Saturday, and in the, at least UNL, UNK, Shatter and those types of school, and Kearney, or I said UNK, they're on that Saturday. This year they're on the next weekend, but sometimes our weekends align, and they're able to make it to both. When you do it on Saturday, that's really tough. And so Friday ends up being a great night for it. And it really works well for most of our families, and it doesn't work well for everyone, but neither did Sunday and neither does Saturday. There's always going to be conflict with a graduation ceremony, where you place it.
And with the college, I mean, they get it all done in one day. They have the college in the morning, the high school, and then they're done.
Yeah, that's a big component of it. We really appreciate being able to use that facility, and that works very well. It's a lot less labor-intensive, it's less costly, and it's very efficient. And it just, and it's actually kind of a fun evening celebration. Opens up all day Saturday for other celebrations if you don't want to do it Friday night. And we've gotten I've gotten more compliments on Friday night than I have complaints, that's for sure. And I have a lot more complaints on Sunday than anything else.
Yep, I believe it.
So the other alternative would be Saturday, I suppose. But that there's a lot of other school districts in the area that do Saturday.
They sure do. You bet. Anything else as far as reports here?
That's it.
All right, we move on, and we are at
my report.
Here. There you go.
I spoke a little bit, just a heads up on the end of the school year's coming, in case the board didn't know, which they all did, of course. But Friday, this Friday, May 16th, is the last day for our students. The high school summer school program will begin, or the high school and junior high summer school program will begin on May 27th, and that goes into about July 24th. And then our elementary summer school program will start on Monday, June 2nd, and that will wrap up around June 26th. So just a little heads up on the school functions and who will be coming in and how our facilities will be used. We have again, I talked about career and technical education above, kind of covered that already, so I'll go down to my next one. Talked a little bit about LB 390, School Library Transparency Act, and this doesn't take place next year, but for 26-27, there'll be legislation that impacts library checkouts and libraries online for parents to view the books that are in your libraries. I believe we already have that. If not, we can get someone a link, but it will be required by state statute next year. And then there's also an opt-in program, or they want parents to be able to access the books that their students are checking out. So I know our system allows that, but we have to work through how to do it. So we'll be working on that a little bit and getting that ready for the 26-27 school year. We have no concerns with that. I think I think people are fine with the books that we're having our kids check out. The Nebraska Department of Education strategic planning session is this Thursday, May 15th at 1 p.m. at the community college here in town. And that's open to anybody, but I wanted to make sure that my board of education was invited to that event. I think it's really important that the state of Nebraska's Department of Education has a really good strategic plan that's focused and narrow in scope, and something that we can all kind of, as a state, include all the public schools and the state itself, kind of rally around a goal. And they actually do have one right now with their literacy goal, where they want a minimum of 75% of our students achieving reading proficiency by the end of third grade. And I think that's a great goal. I think the strategic plan should look something like that, something everyone can focus on and work towards. And so I'm excited about that event. I intend to be there providing some input, some of my own input. So if you're out there and you'd like to give some input on what you think they should be focused on, please go to that event. The Nebraska Department of Education, I also talked a little bit about their 2017 academic strategic plan. And I think it was just my points, basically. I don't want to get into all of them because I could go on for a while on this, but it was just far too broad. They had like six different tenets and then goals in each and then sub-goals. And it just, when there's too much, you lose focus. And when you lose focus, you don't get anything done. And so I actually talked to some folks from NDE, and it sounds like they already want a focused goal. And I think, you know, with the new commissioner, I think we're on a good pathway to getting some really neat things done in Nebraska. So I'm really excited about it. And I think this process is going to pay dividends. When I think they're going to have a great goal when this is all said and done. Like I said, I already appreciate the literacy goal that they've set out for us. So the pathway the Department of Ed's cutting right now is really solid for education and our students in the state. And that is it. That's all I have for my report. So
business manager report after that?
Yes, I'll pull that up here. We're going to be doing grab and go lunches again this summer. We did that last summer. So if you're involved in that, then you know what I'm talking about. There's going to be one change. Last year, we started at McCook Elementary School, and then we moved the grab and go to the junior high. This year, it's going to stay at McCook Elementary. So we're not going to make a move after summer school ends. We're going to keep it right at McCook Elementary School. It just means we have to get some things in the kitchen prepared before before summer school starts. So there's a bit of a tight timeline to get, you know, floors waxed, equipment replaced or fixed and updated. So, but we feel really confident that by the time kids come in on June 2nd, we'll be ready to roll and be able to continue that throughout the summer. We have a lot of facilities, things that we're going to be, lots of cleanup this summer. We're going to be doing a lot of different smaller projects and some big projects. We're going to be doing at the Central Elementary School, we're going to be doing a kitchen storage area. So we're going to be knocking a hole out in a wall, adding some metal doors so we can move the milk cartons and some food warmers out of the hallway there. So if you've gone through Central on your way to the gym, it gets really narrow right by the serving counter. And so we don't use the shower rooms in the elementaries anymore. So we're going to put a hole in there. We're going to make some storage into a shower room, and we're going to get all that stuff out of the hallway. It's really going to be a really nice improvement at that facility. We have a surplus sale coming up, and it's going to be online. The college did one just a few weeks ago, and boy, it seemed to be pretty slick. And so we're going to try it too. We're going to try to follow the college and the process that they used and see how that goes for us. And if it works well, we'll continue with that moving forward. But there is a surplus sale coming pretty soon, and we'll advertise for that. People will be able to see that. So keep your eyes out for that, ears up. And then senior high hallway east of the gym, we're going to start working on our hallways at the gym, you know, as are at the high school. If you go through our classrooms, you'll see they've been updated, new lighting, new drywall, new technology, new flooring. Our classrooms look really, really sharp. They've really been modernized. Now we're going to move to our hallways. We're going to start with the hallway outside the gymnasium on the east side next to the commons area. So we're going to be putting in new flooring, drywall, new lighting, and drop ceilings, and we're really going to try to spruce that area up. And eventually we'll work our way through all the hallways at the high school. Also, we're working on finalizing the junior high project. That's a potential bond that the board may call for in June, just working with W Design and also with Sampson Construction and making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and any concepts or changes, ways to save money are discussed and hashed out and then estimated and see what the impact is. So that's coming to a closure there. And then McCook on the Move group is a volunteer group within the community. They wanted us to participate and share some facts about the bond project. We went and shared some facts about our project, and it sounds like the McCook on the Move committee is interested in doing the promotional work on the bond issue and getting out and showing direct support for the passage of the bond. So watch for anything from McCook on the Move coming out. And then we had some... And that is all from the business manager. Board comments, we just had Brad commented on the student handbooks. So every year we reapprove the student handbooks. There's always changes. There's always things that happen during the course of the year. And you're like, oh, that should be in the student handbook. And you make those additions, or you might even subtract something if something just doesn't work anymore. It's outdated. So we presented those to the board last night for them to review over the next month and to provide comments directly back to the principals. This is like the one time board members contact directly a principal saying, hey, I think this or that. And then the principal can then make those types of changes. And then in June, hope to approve the student handbook so that we can share those with our parents when the students come back in August. And that was the only board comment.
New business, any resignations?
We did not have any resignations, so it was a good month. No resignations.
But you have one big contract approval, didn't you?
We have two big ones, okay. But we'll start with a really big one. I'm really excited. We approved a contract for Allison Hislop, and I know her as Allison Bean because when she was a student here at McCook High School, I still remember Allison. She was a hardworking student, and I tell you what, incredibly intelligent. And she's been a science teacher for a number of years. Right now, she has graduate degrees, graduate hours, very intelligent young lady, very talented teacher. She's coming back to McCook to teach science, and we are super excited about that. This is one of the toughest positions to fill in education right now, and Mr. Dickus had been looking for a science teacher, going to recruiting fairs, calling people for months, and when Allison showed some interest, we started to really pursue Allison, and we're really excited about her accepting the offer that we gave her and coming into McCook Public Schools and being a teacher for us. Going to fill a very important role, and we're very excited about bringing Allison in. And so that was approved last night by the board. Also, we have another one I'm very excited about. When I was talking about the career and technical education teacher, we have the state of Nebraska has a new process. If you have a career, if you have experience, a certain amount of experience and a certain amount of education in career and technical education areas, you can get a career and technical education certification. It's not a regular teacher certification. It's a certification that allows you to teach specifically to your skill sets. And so we have a young man in the community named Tanner Unger, who is also a graduate of McCook High School, who went off to Northwest Community College, Northeast Community College up in Norfolk. Mm-hmm. I believe civil construction management, I'm probably getting that wrong, but in the construction world, and he's been working the last several years in construction, a couple of different areas of construction, and has expertise in construction. So we were able to get him, working with the Department of Education, a certification to become our new career and technical education teacher, so industrial arts again. And so he's going to be the teacher that's going to work with our kids out in the community, doing home remodel, home construction, working with small engines, and working with welding. And he can weld, he has welding skills, but he's even taken a class this summer to build those skills up. And we're really excited about Tanner being willing to do that and come in and help us out. And great kid. I see him as a kid. He graduated with my daughter, so he's a kid still, right, mm-hmm. to me. But he's a great young man, and I think he's going to do an outstanding job with our kids. And we're really excited about this hire. And so excited to bring him on board and look forward to that program growing. We've wanted to for years to grow our career in technical ed, our industrial arts program, and we're able to do it this year. We're able to find Tanner and get him the certification. So that contract was also approved last night.
Had a couple of great donations for the yes. Nord group trip, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We start off with the McCook Optimist Club supporting the Nord group with a donation of $2,400. I think they had to raise $65,000 this year. Mrs. Fisher's really been working hard, really, really, really hard, and she's done an amazing job. And that's what happens when you have a teacher that is passionate and wants to give kids an opportunity to experience something they wouldn't otherwise. And so she's just throwing herself into this, raising money for her students to take them to Baja, where they're going to be out on the beaches studying animals. They're going to be like living out there. They're not even staying in, I don't mm-hmm. think they're even staying in hotels. They're going to be living out there studying sea creatures on the beach. It's going to be an amazing experience for those kids. And thank you to Mrs. Fisher, but thank you to the Optimist Club for seeing the value of this program and supporting it with $2,400 donation. Also, the next action item was to accept, thankfully, a donation from the McCook Community Foundation Fund in the amount of $3,000 again for our NOR group. It really gets that group closer to that overall goal. And they're still working. I know if you are at the ballparks tonight, and I don't know if I assume they have games tonight, buy something at the concession stand. Our NOR group's out there still raising money trying to fund that program so those kids don't have to pay as much out of pocket to go. And it's a great learning experience. It's phenomenal. Something something we can't do in McCook. It's, we just don't have the environment. So appreciate all the work that that our community is doing for NOR and our students and our staff for supporting that program. And then also we accepted with gratitude a gift from McCook Education Foundation in the amount of $1,000 for the fourth grade field trip to Kearney Archway. So thank you to McCook Education Foundation. One of the nice things about this, fourth grade, going to the Kearney Archway, it's a great experience. Fourth grade social studies focuses on Nebraska history. And so what a great way to wrap up your study of Nebraska history by going to the Archway and seeing some of the displays they have there that's directly related to all that they've been learning about this last year. And then we had to approve a cooperative agreement between Southwest Public Schools and McCook Public Schools for boys and girls swim for the 25-26 and 26-27 school years. Well, we have these cooperative agreements every so often. We get them with swim team. We might get it with softball. And it isn't always Southwest. It is a lot. That's great. We love having their kids come over and compete with our swim team. But sometimes it's tennis or another program that we have here. We've had schools from up north join us as well. And this is something that has to be redone every 2 years. So that's why there's only 25, 26, 26, 27. At the end of 27, we'll have to approve it for another 2 years, as long as they have kids that want to come over and swim. And the students are obviously responsible for getting to our practice facility at the YMCA and those types of things. But as long as they can work out their transportation, we really enjoy having them swim with our team and represent McCook and Southwest in competitions. And it doesn't impact our classification in swim. Everybody's Class A. So even though we're adding a student number, it's not bumping us up into another classification. We compete Class A in swim, so it doesn't matter that we've added some student numbers. And so when you add a couple kids from another district, you include all of that student body as represents your competitive team. So that's how they place you in classifications. Anyway, I probably got a little bit too much into the weeds on that.
But that's okay. No problem. No problem.
Anyway, we're good to go, and we're excited to bring them over. And that was approved also last night. So everything was approved of those items that were on the action item list.
Professional engineering services for the new parking lot to W Design.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is important. So we have that project going with the YMCA. We're going to be putting a parking lot on the west side of the YMCA. It's on their property. It's on our property. And then we're bringing that parking lot all the way up north. So it's just directly west of our tennis court. So it's going to provide, like this week, we're going to have lots of track meets up there, and the parking lots are full, and it's overflowing. Hopefully next year at this time, we'll have a nice new parking lot down there. Families can go down there and park. They can go to tennis meets. They can go to track meets. They can go to the little kids' track meets. And there'll be plenty of space for everyone to park. And so we have to pay the fee to engineering services for that. And even though it's under $100,000, this needs board approval because the dollars are being taken out of a special building fund. And every dollar, every penny that comes out of special building has to get an individual approval from the school board. So this is the first one that we're paying is for these services. And then later on, after the parking lot has been built, there'll be a much larger one for the construction. And so folks will see that later next year, probably January or so, they'll see maybe March, they'll see a bill for a special building on the parking lot. And that's it.
Positive comments.
Let me pull those up real quick. We'll start off the positive comments with Mike Langan. Things went well at graduation. Said without a hitch, he was really impressed with our esports champions. They did a great job, and he's super excited about bringing on the new CTE teacher. He will really make a difference. Scott talked about graduation as also. It was very good, went off without a hitch. And he also commented on CTE that it was a real positive change, and was also excited for us finding a science teacher. That's not easy to do in this current job market. Charlie commented on Charlie McPherson talked about participation and the reality check, which is an activity that we do at the junior high. It's volunteer based, where we put our kids, our eighth graders, go through this simulation where they have to work through budgets, work through wages, work through life decisions. It really, they get these cards or information sheets, and it tells them they have to make choices and how those choices impact their budget, and it can, if they can afford it, if they can't afford it, what do they have to do? So it's a great experience. We talked a little bit about the Connecting the Dots activity, which we do with sophomores at the high school, and how that's kind of the next step of that, giving kids real-world experiences with careers, with finances, with budgets, and how that it's really critical the choices you make. Mm-hmm. And then he also talked about, and that's all that Charlie spoke about. Then we had Jeff Gross talked about thank the community for all the scholarship money they are providing our students. And the past few months, last night was just a sample of all of the different scholarships and different grants that the community supports. If you were, Jeff's on a lot of these different scholarship committees, the dollars that go to our kids to go to college or go to any of our schooling postgraduate is amazing. And so we really appreciate our community members supporting our kids, furthering their education and whatever that is. And so we really appreciate that. And it makes a huge difference, makes our kids want to come back and live here and work here. It's truly valuable. And then Brad also wanted to speak about the scholarship dollars, thought that was great, and also spoke about the FFA banquet. He was super impressed with the kids, the way that they present themselves, their presentation skills, what they did over the course of the last year. He talked about they actually went through their official meeting and how precise they were with that. And then I spoke about teammates mentoring and other mentors. I really appreciate our teammate mentors. They spent time with our kids over the last year, and that really makes a difference. So I want all our teammates mentors to know that we really appreciate them. They make a difference in the lives of the kids that they work with. And I encourage other folks to become mentors as well. It is awesome. And that's our meeting.
That's a wrap for the May meeting.
That is.
All right, next meeting, June 9th.
June 9th, that's right.
We're into summertime.
Yes, unfortunately, the kids won't be around.
But just think, June, July, and you're going to get it right back into August.
June 9th's not so bad because we do have summer school, got the elementary running. It gets really too quiet in July and early August. But we got a lot going on this summer. It'll be all right.
August, when's the first day of school for 26?
Right, let me check on your calendar. I'm pretty sure it's August 14th.
He's got that date circled, folks.
I believe that is correct, but double check just in case.
It'll be a fast summer. It always is.
Yeah. I think it was the same day we started on the 14th this year. I think we're starting on the 14th next year. So, yeah, it's coming quick, and that's good. I like that. So, and have your kids read a lot this summer, and they can do some math facts in the car when you're traveling. If you're going anywhere, just give them a math fact sheet.
Vacations. That's what vacations on the road
that's
all
what
about.
That's all about.
You bet.
Reading and math facts.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rich.
We'll talk to you next month.
Talk to you next month.